Kimberly, can you sort of tell us about a role that you feel like maybe changed the trajectory of your career, or that you really felt like sort of was the point where you're like, this is what I love, this is what I'm good at, I'm sticking with it?
That's a really great question, because I feel like I've had a few of those moments where I'm like, I made it, that kind of moment. Probably the first time I really felt that way was when I was doing an episode of Scooby-Doo. I was a hex girl, and it was the whole original cast. So it was Casey Kasem, Mary Kay Bergman, like all the greats were in the room. And I just felt like this was my childhood right now. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm in this room. I'm just like the biggest fan, and I'm actually in the room. So that was pretty cool. That was a good moment. And then, let's see, I think just in general, when I was working at Warner Brothers, I was on several shows at once. I was working on Static Shock and a couple of other shows. And so that's kind of when I knew. Andrea Romano made a joke to me. She's like, you're here so much at Warner Brothers, we should just like give you a little apartment here. She made that joke. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome.
I've read in an interview about your discussion on representation, mm-hmm. and how companies would, I hate to turn the tone of it. I wanted this answer from you for so long, about, you know, them blatantly asking you questions, can you be more urban, mm-hmm. more girlfriend? Do you still find that today, being that I've named you the woman of 1,000 voices, like, do you have to have that today?
Yes. I feel like it's a lot better. It's not as, like, you know, like this, you know, unusual thing that we're not used to seeing. It's like they're better about how they ask.
Okay.
But in my bag of tricks, I have all kinds of voices that I do. Like on South Park, yeah. I do a character called Classy, and she's not classy at all. So that's kind of like sometimes I get to have fun with those characters, but I don't feel as offended. When I have, you know, a person that's not of color trying to get me to sound like what they think a person of color should sound like, I don't have that as much. Definitely the 90s were full of that, for sure. You know, just, and animation was growing so much at that time, and I feel like now there's a lot of representation, and I'm not just talking about race, I'm talking about, you know, female, gender, identity, all of those things I think are, people are taking that seriously.
Which is definitely good to hear.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's definitely changing, yeah. For sure.
Kimberly, what was one of your favorite parts of playing the, in my opinion, iconic Princess Allura?
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. Yeah. My favorite part is... Well, actually, my favorite part is getting to come to conventions. It's really strange because I didn't realize how many young people I was affecting or get a, you know, to play a part in affecting their lives and just seeing changes in representation. And so, because voiceover, it's like, I'm in my ISO booth, I'm doing my thing, and you just keep going. And when you get a moment to stop and meet fans and people who are, you know, just like, wow, there's a black princess, wow, there's, you know, that just is amazing to me. So that's a really good part. And also just a great quality production, excellent cast, director, just like one of the best shows I've ever worked on. Everything's wonderful about that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is actually about DC Superhero Girls.
I like your Bumblebee colors right
Thank
now.
Thank you. I'm actually Static Shock under here.
Oh, my God.
So I'm wondering, as we were discussing, there's been a lot more representation. She's definitely more well-educated, and, you know, she's book smart and this shy girl. And why is it so important to you to have... this kind of, not only, yes, she's a woman, yes, she's a woman of color, but she's smart in such a male-dominated superhero genre.
Right. I know. It's huge. I love Bumblebee. And you know what? I meet a lot of women of color that are so intelligent at conventions like this and that are techies and into all that stuff. So it's about time there's some representation for that, too, I think. I'm not a techie, but I play one on TV. yeah, I think that's another important representation. There's a lot of girl nerds that are, like, just doing their thing, and writers, and just very smart. I'm very impressed with so many people that I've met at these conventions, but it's fun. I'm working with the best voiceover people. Seriously, Gray Delisle, Tara Strong, Kari Waldron, Nicole Sullivan. We're all on this show. We record together. And to just be that representation, Cree's on the show too. Yeah, so it's like, it's just, she's, I'm like, Cree, I love you. I do love her. She's such a goddess. But it's just so much love there. And I feel like I'm in voiceover at a really good time from when I started, which was many years ago. And it's a really important movement, and it's just fun.
So my question is actually about Steven Universe, because I guess as, you know, a young person growing up in this town, like, diversity, like, as you said, the animation field is evolving so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, such a, you know, impactful show. So your character, Jasper, I think is really interesting, and it's a contrast, I guess, to other characters. So I guess, how did the reception, like, the overwhelming, you know, reception and impact of Steven Universe affect you both personally and also career-wise?
I had no idea what was going to happen when I joined the Steven Universe. Because I hadn't even seen the show when I auditioned for that role. And when I booked it, I was like, okay, go to Cartoon Network. I just going to do my thing. And then I'm like, oh, my God. It's great because it's not a character that I normally play. And it's like, definitely, it's a character. You know, I'm using a different part of my voice and all that stuff. But Rebecca Sugar is another goddess that I love. She's just so intelligent. I'm surrounded by intelligent women. The DC superhero girls, Lauren Faust, oh my God. And just, there's just a lot of, like, exciting things happening. But particularly with that show, I found it, she told me I'm the only character on the show that uses, like, a different voice. Everyone else kind of uses their voice. But that's what I auditioned with. So I don't know. She was like, she's really gruff. She's really mean. She's really tough. I'm like, okay, I just got to go there. I don't know. So that's another show. And there's actually going to be another season, I think. And there's a movie coming out.
Were you supposed to share that? Are you supposed to know that?
It happened.
I think
she
so.
She said mine. She
didn't say mine. What I'm saying is this can't end.
Right.
But yeah, I think so. But it's good. It's another one of my favorite characters because it's so different from all my other characters that I do, and also just who I am, really, because I'm not mean like that. But you know what? I've gotten asked so many times about her redemption. Like, when is there going to be a redemption arc? And I keep asking Rebecca that. Like, come on, you can't leave her out there like this, all corrupted. And yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you just spoiled my theory about Steven.
What's your theory?
Well, let's get to that later.
We'll be here all day. Right? I know.
Yeah. I saw that you, I'm surprised, because you did the voice in Arkham, was it Silent Night,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
City, and in Injustice.
Mm-hmm.
What made you audition for the role for Barbara Gordon?
Well, I'm an actor. I audition for everything when it comes. But yeah, I was, God, that was a while back too. I just was doing a lot of like stuff for Warner Brothers and DC. I was just working there a lot. And I don't actually even remember how I got that role. I'm sure it was just the traditional way. I just read for it. The director was Colette Sunderman, who I worked with a lot on Static Shock and Mucha Lucha. She was a director for that. Just a bunch of other shows. I just worked for her the other day on a new project. But I think it was just the traditional thing, and I was really happy when I booked it and really bummed when I got replaced. And I got replaced, I didn't even know. I just knew that another game came out, because I don't really play games, so I just call my agent. I'm like, wait, what am I? She's like, I don't know what happened. But that was just a good run. That was really fun. And with video games, you record by yourself, and so I don't have a lot of stories because I just went in and recorded. I think one of those sessions I did see Mark Hamill, though, and I was like, oh. Yeah, I love him. Anyone else?
I do. So I think we've all asked sort of questions about representation, but I think one of the most interesting things that I realized meeting you for the first time after hearing you for so many years was that you could play any character.
Mm-hmm.
And your race was not restrictive. in a way that I think a lot of conversations about live action,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
you know, are very role restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is more or less, how important is it to have voices of color, and how much do you think the industry, how much more do you think the industry should be concentrating on not just what we're visually seeing in characters like Allura, but also what we're hearing
right.
from voice actors like you?
It's hugely important. And that's a really good point, because I think of myself as, thank you, as versatile, and I just approach the character without thinking about, unless it's like very specific about race or whatever, because there's so many characters, race isn't even a thing that's brought up. So I like having that versatility, and I like also that there are more roles that are being written specifically for people of color, and so that's also changed a lot too. It's just really important. There's more and more of it happening where I, you know, I'm like, well, there's a black character, there's a, you know, female character, there's shows where there's all female characters, like DC Superhero Girls. So I hope I'm answering your question. I think that's just like, we're on the right track. We're heading in a direction where I think the momentum is going, and we're going to get to a point where it's more the norm, and we're not talking about having to have everyone be represented, because it's just going to be happening.
Do you mind if I do a quick follow-up?
Please.
I don't necessarily want to say that it might be easier without having to, like, somebody visually see you, and I want to get your thought. Do you feel like it's easier as a voice actor to get a role because people aren't having to look at your skin or your gender, or do you feel like it's about the same?
I feel like with voiceover, it's a little bit different than on camera. Okay. It really is just more about the talent. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times on camera, it's like who fits the costume, who looks like the part, that can play a huge factor in you landing a role. And I think with voiceover, it's a lot more dependent on like just the read, because they're not looking at you, they're hearing it. And if they know, and voiceover is like the last thing that happens. So they have the vision for their character. When they hear the voice, they're going to match it. I do feel like I have an advantage because sometimes I get roles just because I'm African-American. Like it'll be like, oh, we have this part. Oh, let's get Kimberly Brooks. So I get a little bit, you know, based on my career, I get a little bit of that. So that works in my favor. But
that's probably more name recognition.
Yeah, name recognition. And just, you know, I don't know. It just happens. So Phil, you could ask Phil Lamar about that too. Like sometimes
yeah.
it just, mm-hmm. I just know I'm going to get a role because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a numbers game. And, you know, I've sort of, you know, done enough to prove that I can do certain characters or whatever. So that works in my advantage. I never complain about that.
Yep. So you mentioned Mark Hamill earlier, and mm-hmm. I saw you really light up about that. It's just a random question, but if you could have a role in Star Wars, either a voice actor or live action, what role would you like to have? What time period, et cetera?
Oh. I'm weird. I'm not a geek. I'm not, like, I don't even know. Like, I saw Star Wars in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how old I am. The original Star Wars. In the theater. And I remember it. I wasn't, like, too little. Or
that makes you iconic. You should know
that.
Yeah.
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 Thank you. So I just have to... I love Princess Leia. Like, she's tough. She's, like, sarcastic. She's got that... So I think that's kind of me. That's me. I would go for that. Pretty old school.
Okay. I guess I'm starting off in the industry and the voice acting and everything. Did you have any tough times, any negativity thrown towards you when starting off, and I guess even now?
Negativity. I mean, you have people that say it's too hard and you can't do it. I think people do that in general. Mm-hmm. And when people do that, that's always like, oh, really? That's my thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and do it like that. So, not really. I feel very lucky and fortunate. I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time. I've had so many wonderful opportunities. I haven't had that many. I mean, I had one time where I was replaced because I didn't sound black enough. And that's kind of what we were talking about. And that was on a big movie. So that was the one thing. That was the Jimmy Neutron movie. But pretty much, no. People in the voiceover industry are pretty cool. I've had really wonderful.
You are you went to school for theater and music,
mm-hmm.
and on Steven Universe, as we all know, there's a lot of songs going on.
Where is my song? I literally said that to Rebecca, and I'll be like humming in the booth,
right?
Like, hey, I can
say,
you know.
Should we get to see a good Jasper arc completion, what kind of song would you want her to sing, or how do you think you would even do that, seeing as her voice is so rough?
It is, but I think we need something that, like, contrasts with who she is. So it would have to be something, like, nothing obvious, like, not rap or, you know, whatever, like, hard rock.
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal or something.
Yeah.
Which would be the obvious choice. Come on, you can picture her with a guitar
Come on,
in her
like,
hand, right?
Throwing her hair around,
like, just grinding away on the guitar. So that's a safe choice. But what about country music?
Mm-hmm.
What if she's a Patsy Cline fan, like I am, and maybe she's going to sing a little... I'm just saying they haven't tapped into that. I don't know. Anything that Rebecca would possibly write for Jasper to sing, I would love anything. I think it would be so much fun. She's so good at that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was watching. It was playing... Oh, I was watching... There's a Steven Universe marathon on right now on Cartoon Network because of the movie. And I, of course, I had it on in my room before I was coming here today. And they were showing some outtakes of... people like just singing all of the songs that like at competitions and stuff that she's written, and I was like, her songs are really good.
Everyone loves them.
I know, and it's amazing. And I saw her do one, Rebecca, where she was playing the ukulele at Comic-Con in San Diego and singing on stage.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. I was like, so amazing. I'm just like that. All these amazing women that are just doing wonderful things that are like changing people's lives. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
What you mentioned about how you had like theater training. So how did you like transition from doing, you know, probably theater, musical theater, stage performance to more voiceover, where it's more concentrated, I guess, what you're able to show?
It's actually a very smooth transition.
Okay.
Like it's because like if you're lucky enough to work in animation and you get to do ensemble recordings, it's like doing a stage reading or doing like, you know, a stage play. That really, you know, those are some good skills for me to learn. Because I've been doing theater since I was like children's theater forever. I've never not been doing some like play or something. So that, I just felt like when I transitioned into voiceover, it was so natural. It was like all the theater stuff that I had learned was just right there. Yeah, and the singing, and I get to, you'd be amazed how much I get to sing in voiceover. It's awesome. I just sang on DuckTales not that long ago.
Oh, cool.
I was like a pirate. See, you can do anything.
So we're a pop culture fandom website, and the main question I always ask talent is, what are some of your fandoms, whether it's classic, retro, because I'm an 80s kid.
Oh,
70s,
yeah.
80s.
Yeah.
So.
What do I like?
Yeah.
I like really weird things. I mean, maybe not. I grew up in Los Angeles, and for some reason, I'm super nostalgic about, like, L.A. in, like, the 70s and 80s. So, like... any show that was shot in LA on location in that time period, like say, like 80s, like say Rockford Files. I don't know if you guys remember that show. I could watch that all day long. I'm obsessed with LA in the 80s because it was before traffic and it was just a different time.
Yeah.
And like, I was there and I remember it. So I watch weird stuff, but I also watched Game of Thrones, like everybody else.
Rockford Files
Snow.
Is actually still in syndication today.
What is?
Rockford Files.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I watched.
ETV.
Oh, yeah. ETV. I'm either watching Heart to Heart on Hallmark.
There you go.
Or, yeah, which Lori Allen is here. She's the voice from
yeah.
Hallmark. I'm just like, I just love her. Her voice is so great. But I'm either watching that or I'm watching something from the 80s. Or just, I don't know.
I love the 80s.
Can we go back? Anyone? Oh, yes.
So one thing I've sort of noticed and found really interesting sort of in this live-action Disney boom is that we're getting voice actors, but they're actors, not voice actors. So as somebody who has, acted quite a bit, can you sort of break down for me, in your opinion, you know, what is the value of having a voice actor do that work?
Mm-hmm.
And what might audiences sort of be missing out on by not sort of having somebody who's trained? So I guess part of that question is, what are your skills that make you different from an actor?
They're
and like why is that vital to doing what you do?
That's a really great question. I don't really understand it other than from a financial standpoint. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was an animated feature, and Brad Pitt was the main character.
Sinbad.
Was it Sinbad?
Yeah, I think
it was
so.
On a boat. I knew it was on a boat. And I knew it didn't do very well, and I knew it didn't look very good. So I know that when they were promoting it, they had the split screen, and they had his character, and they had Brad Pitt with his cans on. So you could see that it was Brad Pitt, so you would go and see the movie. So I think it's more about having celebrities. One, celebrities want to do animation all the time because it's cool, and they have kids, and they want to, you know. So that's one thing. And then I think studios want to work with celebrities, too, even in commercials. Like, why does Robert Redford need to sell you a ticket on American Airlines? And he doesn't... Because I know ad agencies, they love celebrities, they love getting them in there, and they just love them having them sell their products, including movies. So, as a utility actor, I get to work on a lot of movies, usually not the main character, but all the little incidental characters. That's when they're getting the voiceover people in, to just come in and do like 6 or 7 characters and in one session, and be out there and make their movie, you know, build their movie. But they still got their stars.
And what would you say your skills are that are stronger than just a regular actor?
Just versatility, being able to read copy quickly and just get on the mic and give them something that they want, give them choices. And it's, you know, we got the shorthand to how to get to what they want. And voice on-camera actors, it's a whole other world. I would not feel comfortable in that world. I did something recently on... Adam Ruins Everything. It was like an on-camera thing. Because I'd done a lot of voiceover on that show. And they were like, oh, they want you to do an on-camera role. And I was like, okay, I'll just try it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even watch it. But it's a whole other world, blocking and where you got to be and all that stuff. So that's a skill set that's amazing. But I got the whole voiceover thing down. Thank you for that question. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.